you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me tonight to St. Luke's Gospel, the 19th chapter. And we'll just trust the Lord to lead us from here. How many will stay with me?
Amen.
You better pray with me. Amen. The 19th chapter of St. Luke tells us in the first verse that Jesus entered and he passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief amongst the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before, and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up, and he saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And the sixth verse tells us, and he made haste, and he came down, and I love this, and he received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. And then this 10th verse tells us the wonderful mission of our wonderful Savior. It says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's why Jesus came. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. And quickly tonight, just before we go into some of our testimony, I want to share with you this thought. It tells us that on this particular occasion, that Jesus was going to Jericho. And I want you to know, as you follow Jesus through the gospel, wherever Jesus went, he was on a mission.
Amen. Thank God.
He was sent of his Father. If it was to find the woman at the well or blind Bartimaeus by the roadside. But on this occasion, it says that Jesus was going to Jericho. And I'm glad that Jesus, when he went to Jericho, he found the man that he was going to see. And the Bible says Jesus entered and he passed through Jericho. Now, I don't know how long Jesus stayed there, but his purpose in going to Jericho that day was to find Zacchaeus. I'm so thankful tonight that Jesus, the mighty Son of God, yes, he preached to the multitude. On many, many occasions, it tells us that Jesus ministered to multitudes of people. But I'm so thankful that our loving Savior also, because of his love and his compassion, he ministered to the ones again and again. He took out time to seek after one individual. And on this day, he was seeking for Zacchaeus. And when he came into Jericho, it says, behold, Zacchaeus was right there. He was there by divine appointment of God. And beloved, not only was Jesus going to Jericho to find Zacchaeus, but at the same time, Zacchaeus had in his heart a desire to see Jesus. And beloved, I want you to know, there are two individuals that are soon going to meet somewhere in life, and that's a seeking Savior and a seeking heart. And the Bible tells us that when Jesus came to where Zacchaeus was, he knew right where he was. He looked up into that tree. He called him by name, and there's something about the call of Jesus. When the call comes to the soul of man, there's just this something about his call. It draws you, it moves you, it wins you. And the Bible says that when Zacchaeus heard the call that came from the Master's lips, It said that he made haste, and he came down from that old sycamore tree, and the Bible tells us that he received Jesus joyfully. I'm so thankful that when Jesus meets a seeking heart and reveals himself to that heart, there's always, I want you to remember this tonight, there's always going to be joy that's going to accompany real salvation, real heart born again experience. There's going to be joy. Amen. There's going to be joy. I said there's going to be joy.
Amen.
And not only that, there was nobody there to tell Zacchaeus now how he was supposed to conduct himself or what he was supposed to do. But I want you to know when Jesus came in immediately, he said, Lord, if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I'll restore to him fourfold. Jesus said, that's good enough for me.
Hallelujah.
He said, this day salvation's come to this house. There was a change in this man's life immediately. And he went home with Zacchaeus. I like that. Jesus just didn't call him and tell him to come down from the tree and then Zacchaeus received him. But the Bible says that Jesus went home with Zacchaeus.
Yeah, amen.
Oh, I like that. And beloved, the thought that I want to bring out of this tonight is this. This was Zacchaeus' day of visitation. You say, Sister McAdams, what would have happened if Zacchaeus hadn't answered the call this day? I don't know. But I do know this was his day of visitation. And beloved, every man, woman, boy, and girl, sometime in life, they have a day of visitation. When Jesus crosses their pathway,
hallelujah,
and he calls them and he reveals himself to them. And beloved, my day of visitation as a teenager back in Pennsylvania, I didn't know that this was going to be the day when I'd never be the same. And you'll never be the same after you've had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. I'd gone to church perhaps once or twice a year, not too often, to the family church. But there's a big difference. And my day of visitation was not up a sycamore tree. It was not at the well like the woman of Samaria. But my day of visitation, and as I said, I didn't know that this was going to be the day when I was going to come face to face with Jesus Christ. But it was in the strawberry patch in the month of June. Back in Pennsylvania, we were picking strawberries for a nearby farmer. This is how we young people made our clothes for school. And this farmer had acres and acres of strawberries. Now, I'm going to tell you, when I picked strawberries, I didn't do too well. When I picked tomatoes for Heinz's, you know, I did better. But when I picked strawberries, I didn't do too well. I won't tell you why. But I think more went somewhere else than in the basket. But anyway, I was picking strawberries, and my cousin Theodore was my age. And we were picking together for this farmer, and he hadn't come to work yet. I wondered where Theodore was when suddenly I looked up from the row where I was picking strawberries, and I saw my cousin coming down the row toward me. I don't know how to explain it any other way, but when I saw my cousin coming toward me, you have to forgive me, I wouldn't be here tonight if it weren't for this day. I knew something happened to Theodore. You say, how'd you know? I just saw it all over his face.
Amen.
I just saw it. I saw it all over his face, and I wasn't disappointed. Because when he came to where I was picking strawberries, the first thing he said to me, in fact, he really wasn't too close to me yet. He said, Ellen, he said, the most wonderful thing happened last night. Well, I knew something wonderful happened. I told you, I saw it all over his face. You know, when you're full of something, it's just going to come out. Isn't that right?
Amen.
It says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth just going to talk.
Amen.
When you're full of this joy of salvation, it's just going to flow out. way back in the Old Testament, the prophet saw it. He said, oh, you're going to draw from the wells of salvation. With joy, you're going to draw from those wells of salvation. And there it was. It was just flowing out from my cousin's life. He said, Ellen, the most wonderful thing happened last night, and I want you to know I was all ears. He had my attention more than the words that were coming from his lip. It's what I saw all over his face, and it awakened something in the heart of me. I can't explain it. Until I wanted to listen, I couldn't imagine what had happened to him. Then he began to tell me. He said, Ellen, he said, Dad and Mom last night and myself, he said, all three of us were saved. Now, I didn't know what he was talking about.
Yeah.
And he began to try and tell me. And imagine, he was one day old in the Lord, and they'd given him a little testament that night at the altar in this church where my aunt and uncle had found Christ as their Savior. And he pulls this little testament out, and he begins to preach, evidently his first sermon. But I want to tell you, he's the best little preacher I ever heard. Oh, beloved friend of mine, I want to tell you what this world is hungering and thirsting for. They're hungering and thirsting for something that's real, something that comes from the heart. Beloved, the world can tell when something comes from our heart and when it's real to us. Oh, I want to tell you, he had my attention. And he began to tell me, and I found out later this is what he had heard preached at the church that night. And he said, Ellen, he said, you remember Jesus that was born in Bethlehem and died on the cross and went back to heaven? He said, Jesus is coming again, Ellen. That's why all the wars and the rumors of wars, he said, Ellen, Jesus is coming again. And then my heart was touched. My cousin, a teenage boy, he was so touched. His heart was so full of the compassion of Jesus that the tears welled up in his eyes. And he said, Ellen, he said, we don't want you. And he named my Catholic mother and my father. He said, we don't want you to be left behind when Jesus comes. He said, Ellen, you can be saved. I don't know who told him that I could find Jesus in that strawberry patch any more than I know who told Zacchaeus that he was supposed to make restitution. I don't know who told my cousin. Oh, yes, I do. It was this wonderful Jesus that had come into his heart. Somehow Jesus was just teaching him and leading him already, one day old in the Lord. Friend of mine, when Jesus comes, it says that he will lead and he will guide us into all truth. And he said, my sheep, they'll know my voice and they'll follow me. And here my cousin was just so sweetly obeying the voice of Jesus and well, he was just preaching to me right there in the strawberry patch. And then when he began to tell me, you know, and pinning me down and making the altar call, so to speak, and telling me I could get saved there in the strawberry patch, you know what happened to me. I began to wiggle and twist and squirm and get fidgety. I didn't know what was the matter with me, but I was under old-fashioned conviction just in a moment of time. But I'd come face to face with Jesus. In the life of my cousin, no wonder Jesus said, he said, oh, I'm the light of the world. But then he turned to his disciples and he said, now ye are the light of the world. And he said, a city that's set on a hill, you can't hide it. And beloved, there's something about this wonderful salvation in Jesus. When he's truly living in a person's heart, you can't hide him to save your life. And if you don't have him, you can't put it on. Come on.
Amen.
I mean, when it's there, it's just there. He didn't say, make your light shine. He said, just let it shine. Oh, when Jesus comes in, that light of his presence just flows out.
Amen.
Well, I got busy picking strawberries. It wasn't long, and we went to eat our lunch. We carried a sack lunch, and I knew how my cousin liked to eat. You know how most teenage boys are, you know. Well, do you know any mothers here or dads that have teenagers? You just don't get them filled up. My aunt, she thought my cousin had, you know, she just thought, well, it was just something, you know, you never got done. Just never got him filled up. But there, when we went to eat our lunch, my cousin was so full of this love of God that he wasn't even thinking about eating his lunch. He just started in all over again. Oh, I know sometimes we're accused, you know, of having more zeal than wisdom, but I don't know. There's a difference, isn't there? I said there's a difference. There's a difference in nagging somebody and having the love and the compassion of Jesus. And he began to witness to me again right there under that tree as we were trying to eat our lunch. And finally, you know, it came time to go back and pick some more strawberries. And I don't know if I was picking strawberries that afternoon or where I was. Oh, I couldn't wait until it was time to go home. I wanted to get home. I wanted to tell my mom and daddy what had happened to Cedar. Beloved, this is as contagious as a measles. I said, it's contagious. I had to get home. I wanted to testify, and I wasn't even saved yet. I'd seen reality. I'd gone to church, you know, and I had to sit there between mom and daddy, and I couldn't wiggle, and I couldn't move. And the best part of the service, I'm ashamed to tell you, but it was 12 o'clock, and we always start out at 12. We could count on getting out at 12. But oh, friend, this was something different. I said this was something different. This wasn't religion. This wasn't churchianity. My cousin hadn't even mentioned the name of the church. All he'd talked to me about was how wonderful it was to have Jesus in your heart and that load of sin lifted from your soul and peace in your heart. And he was telling me, he said, Ellen, you can find Jesus. You can find him in the strawberry patch here. You can find him anywhere. I don't know, as I said, who told him that any more than I know who told Zacchaeus he did after he came down and received Jesus joyfully. But it just flowed out of him. And finally I got home, you know, and Mama was trying to get supper. And I just tagged her around, you know, the kitchen while she's trying to get supper on the table. And I said, Mama, I want to tell you something's happened to Theodore. And I was telling her all about it the best I could, you know. And I was telling her about Theodore telling me about the end of the world. That's what I called it. I said, Mama, that's why these wars and rumors of war. And finally, I guess my Catholic mama wanted to dump some cold water on me, try and cool me down a little bit. I want to tell you, my cousin's testimony had stirred my heart. She's always, she said, honey, before the end of the world, it's going to be light 3 days or dark 3 days. I forget, vice versa, she said. It'll be dark 3 days and then light 3 days. And she said, honey, you'll have plenty of time to get ready. But you know, when Jesus begins to deal with your heart, all the cold water, oh, it's just like the sacrifice there on Mount Carmel. Oh, when God's fire begins to burn on the altar of your heart, friend of mine, the opinions of people, and as I said, all the cold water, it can't put out that flame of God's love that's touched your heart. Well, you know, I kind of wondered now when I went back the next morning if this would all be worn off, you know. But I want to tell you, it hadn't worn off. It had intensified. I don't remember the time element, but one evening I couldn't wait. I didn't know. I didn't know it was the Holy Spirit drawing my heart. No seed had been sown in my heart. Friend, if we'll sow the seed, don't you doubt one bit. God will be faithful to see that seed produces.
Amen.
What God's looking for in this hour again is for we as His children to be so in love with Jesus, friend, that we just go out and tell people what Jesus means to us and with such a reality, and not look at people's outward appearance, but know that if we're faithful to share the love of God, that God's sweet Holy Spirit will do the rest. And I want to tell you, Oh, I want to tell you, God's sweet Holy Spirit knows how to work in people's hearts.
Amen.
And I was doing the supper dishes, and I couldn't wait until I got them finished. And finally, I climbed my stairs to my bedroom there on the farm. And the next thing you know, I was on my knees by my bedside. I didn't say made up prayer. I couldn't tell you what I said. I began to cry out to Jesus. And you know what happened?
Yeah.
Same thing happened to me as happened to Zach.
Glory.
It's what happened to the prodigal son. Wherever God is and wherever people are really saved, all the father said, let's kill the fatted calf and let's be merry. Friend of mine.
Amen.
Oh, and the father said, let's get all the neighbors in. And the shepherd that found his sheep, he said, let's get everybody in and be merry and rejoice. And the woman that's a type of the Holy Spirit when she found the coin. Friend of mine, this is what drew us into this full gospel way. Was the joy and the light and the love and the reality of God that we saw in people's faces. It's the greatest sermon, friend, that this whole world will ever hear. Oh, all at once I got so happy there wasn't a soul there to tell me just how I was supposed to feel or what was supposed to happen to me. But I got so happy that I had to jump up from the place where I was praying by my bedside. And I had to find my mama. My daddy was working nights. And mama was out in the garden. And I found mama. Friend of mine, when Jesus comes in, you'll just testify. I said, you'll just testify. It's wonderful to have workers training courses. It's wonderful to have personal evangelism training courses, but I tell you, the greatest training course that any of us can ever have is just to sit at the lovely feet of Jesus and to fall so in love with him. Friend of mine, you may not even use the right terminology, but friend of mine, love and compassion in reality is something that the world understands. It's a language of the heart. I found Mama out in the garden. I began to try and tell her what had happened to me. I didn't get too far with Mama, and I began to tease her to let me go over to Grandpa's. They lived not too far from us, and I had an aunt and an uncle. My aunt was 3 years older than mine, and my Uncle Albert was 5 years older than I, and my grandfather was a church member. He'd been the Sunday school superintendent. We couldn't shine our shoes on Sunday, and I'm not telling you to keep your ox in the ditch till Sunday, but oh my, he told us everything we couldn't do. But we never got anything real. It's just a long face, something, you know, friend of mine, the world. Oh, I tell you, I'm so sick of that. Oh, I'm glad that there's something real. I'm glad there's joy and love. There's joy and peace and true believing. The Bible says there's going to be joy and peace when you really believe. I got over there and tried to tell my church member grandfather what had happened to me, and he turned on the radio a little louder. He was listening to that old program. You'll know how old I am now, old Amos and Andy. He just thought he'd tune me out. I guess he just thought, his little granddaughter, just imagine her trying to tell Grandpa, you know. He knew the Bible kibber from kibber, and he could argue about it and get mad, and I won't tell you.
Amen.
Well, I went and witnessed to my Aunt Millie and my Uncle Albert. Now you can say, well, this is real elementary, but I want to tell you, it worked. I just thought, now if I can stay all night with my Aunt Millie and get her down by her bedside. See, that's where I got saved. I just knew it. Anybody got down by their bedside gets saved.
Thank you,
that's real elementary faith. Well, praise God, it worked.
Amen.
I teased Daddy then to let me stay all night, and that's exactly what happened. The Bible says, according to your faith, so be it unto you. I just believed it. I can't explain it. I just knew.
Amen.
I just knew my Aunt Millie was going to get saved. She did. Knelt there by the bedside. I said, Millie, why don't I found Jesus by my bedside before we go to bed tonight. I don't know what I told her, but you know God will help you. I said, God will help you. And my Aunt Millie was marvelously saved, still living for the Lord. They belong to the Christian Missionary Alliance Church. I'm praying they're going to receive the baptism, but I'm glad they love Jesus and are serving Jesus. A few nights later, he's daddy let me stay all night again. I wanted to get my Uncle Albert saved.
Amen.
Well, my faith began to grow. I found out Jesus could save people other places besides the bedside. My Uncle Albert, he got saved by the rocking chair up there in my Aunt Millie's bedroom.
Hallelujah.
He's really saved, living for God. Got a Christmas card from him. And he's Baptist, but he's really saved.
Glory. Praise God.
Well, one night I went back home. I wasn't staying all night, but I'd go back over there. I wanted to be with my Aunt Millie. We'd pray together, and they had an old piano in the parlor, and we'd sing together. Isn't it marvelous when Jesus comes in your heart? You just, well, the Bible says, you're, if any man be in Christ, he just is a new creature. He did not trying to be, just is.
Amen. Amen.
And I went back home that night. When I got home, my Catholic mama met me at the screen door. And I knew she was saved before she ever told me. Say hi to you. I began to tell Christians about what I saw in their faces.
Thank you,
Lord. Amen. Amen.
I still think it's a pretty good way.
Amen.
Praise God.
Good.
Mama began to tell me. She said, honey, while you were gone, I'd gotten an old hymn book. Didn't have a Bible. I wanted one, but I didn't have one. But I'd found an old hymn book, and I was learning to play, playing with one finger at a time, till I learned to play better. But that would help me express my soul. And there were two songs that I guess were my favorite. The first one was, are you weary, are you heavy hearted, tell it to Jesus. And the next one was, face to face with Christ my Savior, face to face, what shall it be? Mama said, honey, when you left, she's, I had a great desire to get your hymn book. Dad, your daddy was gone. I just decided I'm going to get Ellen's hymn book. I'm going to sing one of Ellen's songs. She didn't know, but this was going to be my mama's day of visitation.
Hallelujah.
On the divan.
Yeah.
She's singing, are you weary, are you heavy hearted? Oh, friends. God's a great God.
Yes, he is.
Don't look at people's outward appearance.
Oh, that's it.
She's singing that, are you weary, are you heavy-hearted, tell it to Jesus. She said, honey, all at once just seemed like all I saw was my sins, just big black mountains. And she said, oh, she said, this is just like a voice spoke in here, she said. Said, why don't you get on your knees by your bed? You see, I'd preach that getting down by the bed so hard that the Holy Spirit took it and used it on my Catholic mama.
Amen.
Friend of mine, we make God too complicated. I feel like we need to come back to the simplicity of the gospel. Oh, I want to tell you, it's so easy for God to move. She said, this voice in here said, why don't you get down by your bed like Ellen did? And I told her about my Aunt Millie. And she said, I believe I will. So she went in the bedroom, but she prayed on her rosary beads so long she thought she had to have them. Well, Lord let her get them out of the drawer. He knew she wasn't going to need them long. She started out on those beads, and she said the next thing she found herself just broken, weeping, crying. She said, I'm just weeping and crying and asking Jesus, just asking Jesus to forgive me of my sins. Jesus, take away these old things. She said, honey, all at once those big black mountains, she said, that's the only way I know to describe it. They just disappeared. And she said, oh, I'm so happy. She said, I'm so happy.
Praise God.
Just like Zacchaeus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For joy he received Jesus. He received him joyfully. No wonder David said, oh, one day he must have looked in the mirror. He said, oh, Lord, he said, I know what's wrong with me. I've lost the joy of my salvation. He said, oh Lord, and he was honest enough that day when he looked in the mirror. He must have recognized I've lost something. Oh, he said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Then he said, I'll teach these transgressors, these people I'm having a hard time. All these transgressors I'm trying to get straightened out. Oh, he said, then I can teach transgressors thy way. And then he said, sinners, they'll just be converted. Oh, but he said, Lord, I got to get that joy back. Oh, friend of mine, it's the fruits of the Spirit that hang on the life of God's sweet children that attract the world. Weeds are bullheaded. And Germans, well, they just have war. And when Mama went to Daddy asking him to forgive her, you know what happened. Daddy began to think there's some things he should be asking for forgiveness for, too. Daddy, I know now he was under conviction. He always said, just get away from me. He says, I guess this is some more of that religion. Well, one day, I came home from school. Mom and I were praying for Daddy. And my piano was gone. Before this, I must tell you this. One evening I was playing the piano and I didn't know it bothered my daddy. And Daddy came in, had it in a big kitchen there where we lived on the farm. We had a big kitchen. We had the piano in the corner of the kitchen, and Daddy came in, reached over my shoulder and grabbed my hymn book. He took it and went to the door, and he was angry. He said, if you're playing that for me, you can just quit any time. He took that hymn book and just threw it out across the yard, and the pages went every which way. And I thought, my, I didn't know that was bothering Daddy. See, Daddy was under conviction. So when Daddy, I don't know where he went, but I finally went out and picked up the pages and tried to put them back in my hymn book. And then I tried not to play when Daddy was around, but I guess it still bothered him. So he thought, I'll get rid of the piano and I'll get rid of this conviction. He was miserable. So when I came home from school, the piano was gone. I had a funny feeling. I said, Mama, where's my piano? And my mama, she said, honey, I don't know what's gotten into your daddy. He got his brothers and grandpa, your grandpa, and they've hauled that piano out to the barn. And your daddy said he's going to make me a cedar chest, and he's torn that piano all to pieces. And I went out in the barn. You ever see a piano all torn to pieces there? The keyboard was stacked up by the old cow's manger. We didn't have any cows. Grandpa kept his hay in our barn. And there the piano keyboard was stacked up by the manger. And my daddy, he was a mechanic. He was a farmer, but he couldn't build a doghouse. He was no carpenter. But you know what? You know God will take the wrath of man and make it the praise.
Amen.
My daddy said later, he got so he hated to go to the barn. Said every time he went out to the barn, all he saw was that piano. And he said when he got out there and saw that piano, just like a finger pointed out from that piano, and said, you miserable man, you know why you tore that piano up? You couldn't stand those hymns. And you know that that's all the enjoyment your little girl has out here on the farm. You know what that piano meant to her. And you know why you tore it up. And beloved, God took that piano to preach to my German Lutheran father, a church member. Oh, God just whipped him around good with that piano. God will even preach for your mind in ways that we never dream of. Oh, I love to watch God move, friend of mine. All we have to do is to get into faith and begin to believe God. Oh, I can't explain it to you, but I just knew my daddy was going to be saved. I just knew it. I knew it. Aren't you glad we don't have to wait till we're 100 years old to begin to use this faith that Jesus gives us? There's no boasting in us. It's a gift of God. It says, we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. This faith, it says, is a gift of God. And we can use it the moment He gives it, and the quicker the better.
Amen.
Well, to make a long story short, One Sunday afternoon, we went into Erie, 16 miles from where we lived in the country. My father drove around, and he drove around, and he drove around the blocks. Finally said to Mama, he's, what are we going to do? Are we going to take in a movie? And don't ask me. I can't explain it to you. I used to love to go to the movies I'd lived in if they let me. Uh-huh. I didn't want to go. I just didn't want to go. I couldn't have told you if you'd asked me to save my life. He's going to take in the movie this afternoon. Never said a word. My mama never said a word. And that was something different for Mama because, you know, Mama usually told Daddy what she wanted to do. You men know what I mean? Mama never said a word. And in my heart, you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to go to that church where Theodore and Aunt Em and Uncle Clarence went.
Uh-huh.
And all at once, my daddy said, or do you want to go to that church where Aunt Em and Uncle Clarence go? And I didn't think Daddy was even interested. I didn't know where it was here. He's a pretty good-sized city. But my daddy knew right where it was.
Yeah.
The service already started. Didn't have air conditioning. It was in the fall. It was still warm enough. The windows were open. When we pulled up there on 11th and Sassafras in Erie, Pennsylvania, the Erie Gospel Tabernacle, they were singing. You know what they were singing? What a wonderful change in my life has been since Jesus came in my heart.
That's it.
And that night, I never was anything like it in my life. About 300, 350 people. I looked around. Oh, I want to tell you folks, it's wonderful to be amongst the people of God. Finally, this was something new. They were given an altar call. They were singing "Just As I Am" without one plea. And here my German Lutheran father was standing. We were all standing, and he was on one foot and then the other. Perspiration was actually running down off.
Hallelujah.
This touches my heart tonight for a special reason. Jesus knows, and my husband knows, my mama knows too.
Yeah.
Suddenly that sweet little voice spoke to me. I saw different ones making their way down to what they call an altar. And that sweet little voice said, take a hold of your daddy's hand and go with him. And I reached over to take a hold of his hand. And when I did, he just jerked it away. And I thought, oh, I've done the wrong thing. And that sweet little voice said, take a hold of his hand once more. I didn't get his hand this time. And suddenly, my father stepped out in that aisle.
Glory.
I know he was saved before he ever got to the altar.
Lord.
And on the way home, oh, I think it's the most exciting thing to just watch Jesus work. Just watch him work. Just watch Jesus. Daddy stopped to get gas, reached back to get his billfold. That's where he kept his billfold and his cools. He'd smoked since he wasn't even in his 20s yet. Chain smoker. His already was going down in his body, and Dr. Langs told him he had to quit that smoking. I seen him throw him in the stove. We lived out in the farm. We had an old front room stove. I've seen Daddy go and throw him in the stove and say, I've got to quit. They're killing me. Wasn't spending the night anymore, and Daddy was walking the floors, stomach ulcers, turned cancers, skin and bones now. I've seen Daddy throw him in the fire, and 2-3 o'clock in the morning he'd come and he'd say, Ellen, you want to go to town with me? The little country store was closed. He said, I gotta go to town and get some smokes. On the way home that night, he pulled out his billfold to pay for his gas. When he did, he pulled out his cigarettes. I'm still sick. Looked at those cigarettes and he just kind of laughed. He says, I won't need these anymore. Took them and threw them over in the shrub. He didn't need them anymore.
Hallelujah.
Mama said, George, it was almost a full bath. You could have saved that and given it to somebody else.
I don't know who told Daddy this anymore, and I know who told Zacchaeus. My daddy looked at Mama so surprised, and he said, "Why, Mildred, I wouldn't want to give somebody else that Jesus taken away from me." The next morning, my daddy's making awful commotion down in the cellar. How many know that Germans keep things in their cellar? Any folks out down here in South Texas know anything about Germany? I want you to know they got more than dill pickles and sauerkraut.
Yes, they do.
We have. I said we have. That's why we had that big kitchen. We didn't have linoleum on it. It was a hardwood floor. We had Saturday night dances out there, and we had wine and beer. Those big old kegs down in our cellar working all the time.
Uh-huh.
Here my daddy is making this commotion down in the cellar, and the news had gotten over to his dad. George has got religion.
Glory, praise God.
Friend of mine, this is how the church fills up.
Amen.
My grandfather came over there and brought Albert with him. My Uncle Albert already saved. Grandpa wanted to come over and see what really happened. I tell you, the world will come.
Yes,
I said, the world will come.
Amen.
All will come.
Amen.
They'll come to watch. Oh, let them watch. I want to tell you, they'll see it's real. And here Grandpa come just in time to see my daddy rolling up these kegs up on planks up out of the cellar. He's rolling them toward the hill where we burned the garbage. And my grandfather stood there where these kegs were coming up out of the cellar, and then my daddy came up out, and my daddy began to tell his dad what had happened to him, how Jesus had come into his heart and forgiven his sins, how he had such peace in his heart.
Glory.
And my grandpa finally, you know, he's concerned about those kegs. And my daddy said, you know, he said, "Dad," he said, "this stuff's caused a lot of trouble in our home, and it had. All the fights. I'd hide under the bed and cry, think Daddy's going to kill Mama. Mama danced with the wrong man too long."
Uh-huh.
I'm telling you, there was trouble in the home. My daddy said to his father, he says, "Dad, you know, this caused a lot of trouble in our home." And he said, "You know, Jesus cleaned up my house in here. One day, old Lord..."
Yeah.
He said, "Now I'm cleaning house."
Amen.
And Grandpa, he said, "Now, George," he said, "you know," he said, "if you don't want that," he said, "you could give it to somebody else."
Uh-huh.
You can't guess who he's hoping to give it to.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Daddy told his father the same thing. He said, "Dad, I wouldn't want to give this to somebody else. He's Jesus taking this out of our home." Oh, beloved friend of mine, I wish I had time to go on and tell you how my father was miraculously healed. Stomach ulcers, turn cancers. Dr. Lyons had given him up. But my father, just new convert, he just believed when he heard that not only did Jesus die for our sins, but by his stripes, we were healed. Healing is already ours just as much as our salvation.
Amen.
It's just waiting. And he just believed it. And the night when they prayed for him, he couldn't wait till he got home. We didn't know why. He looked the same to us, skin and bones, hadn't spent a night in bed, and I don't know when. Finally, getting such pain in the summer months, he'd go out and walk up across the field up to a big maple tree. I could see him when it was moonlight.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He'd go up there and hold his stomach and cry out, "I'm glad Jesus not only came to seek and save that which is lost, but he came to reveal himself as a healer of men's broken bodies." And I hope and pray we never lose the message of divine healing. I hope and pray that we cherish this truth. Oh, friend of mine, for there are people that are suffering, and we need to know that Jesus is full of compassion, and that he'll heal our sick bodies just as much as he'll save our sin-cursed soul. My father couldn't wait. We got home. We heard him in the old-fashioned pantry. Out he came with a big bowl, a big can of pineapple in a bowl. We dusted that off and put it back in the cupboard. We knew Daddy liked pineapple so well, we wouldn't eat it in front of him. Every time we cleaned the cupboards, we just put it back. Here Daddy comes with a big bowl and a big spoon and this big can of pineapple. He's so starved. He didn't even get a sauce dish. He opened that up and began to eat that pineapple.
Yeah.
Mama said, "George, it'll kill you." He said, "Mildred, Jesus is healed." Went to bed and slept like a baby.
Praise God.
begin to eat at the table with us. Went back to work. My father's still healed today by the power of God. They said George is emotionally upset. When this wears off, he's going to be in a worse fix than he was before. Well, my daddy's still emotionally upset. That's what they said. Finally, Daddy went back to Dr. Lyons, and Dr. Lyons knew before he took x-rays. Daddy had already gained health, you could tell. But Daddy wanted x-rays. He said, George, this is a miracle. There aren't even any scar tissues. Friend of mine, I'm glad tonight for Jesus. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And that was my and Daddy's night of visitation in the Erie Gospel Tabernacle. 11th and Sassafras. Mine was in the strawberry patch. My mama's was on the divan, and my daddy's was that night at the altar. And yours is tonight. Friend, I want you to know that Jesus has entered into this service. You're here by divine appointment of God. Jesus has been walking up and down these aisles tonight. And I'm asking Brother McAdams now if he won't come to the piano. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm praying tonight that you'll answer the call of Jesus. Jesus is calling as he looked up that tree that day, and he calls Zacchaeus by name. Jesus is calling into the deep of your soul, and he's saying, make haste. Oh, I'm praying tonight that when this service comes to a close and the records go down in eternity, I'm praying that it will be said of you that you made haste and that you came down to this old-fashioned altar and you received Jesus. Oh, friend, he'll give you peace. Joy will come into your heart tonight if you'll but come. Could be tonight that Jesus is going to speak to your heart. He's going to impress you to take hold of the hand of your friend and come with him like I came down to that old-fashioned altar with my daddy that night. It would be that there's a husband here tonight. You're going to reach over now and take a hold of wife's hand. Say, let's go down there together. Oh, friend of mine, there's nothing like serving Jesus Christ together. Peace coming into your troubled home. The love of God shed abroad in your heart as husband and wife. It could be tonight that there are those in this service that once you answered that call of Jesus, once you knew the joy of sins forgiven, but somehow your heart has grown cold. But Jesus has come tonight. He's given you another night of visitation. We're opening these altars now. Thank God, here comes some young people. You'll never be sorry, young person, that you let Jesus come in your life. He's got a beautiful plan for your life. Thank God, here comes some more young people. Your life will be changed. Yes, there'll be peace and there'll be joy. And the perfect will of God will be wrought in your life. You'll never regret this night. But you're opening up your heart to Jesus. Thank God, here comes a mother and a dad together. Here comes others. Oh, I pray tonight that when heaven looks down upon this service, that there'll be great rejoicing because of names that have been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh, let's just make it 100% tonight. Everybody come. Let's just open our hearts anew to the great love of God. Let him fill our hearts tonight.